Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. For expert advice on love and relationships, call into the show at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Or you can submit your question online at AskDrLove.com. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm happy to be with you again today. I'm talking about a topic that I bet never in a million years would you ever imagine could be possible, that your cash register receipts could be causing your diminished sex drive. So let me ask you, are you in a sexual slump? And do you feel dead from the waist down? And does the prospect of dropping trow make you want to say not now? Well, if you said yes to any of my questions, then your sex drive is definitely in the dumps. And believe it or not, the culprit could be your cash register receipts. And that's not all that could be getting you down. So stick around if you want to get to the bottom of a love life that's bottomed out and discover the 12 hidden sex deflators, including scented candles and sex toys. All right. I'm going to be answering a few questions. One of them is called irrational behavior. And here I'm helping out a guy whose girlfriend dumped him without warning, saying she needs time. Meanwhile, he's madly in love and asks me how he can achieve his goal of marrying this woman. Another one I'm going to answer is getting over his past relationships. And in this question, I'm helping a woman who keeps fighting with her boyfriend over his two past relationships, and one in which he cheated on his partner and fathered a child by his mistress, and the second one in which he married someone for money. And she wants to know how to stop fighting with him, which she says is pushing him away. And here's the third question of the week that I selected. It's called, what if she slept with someone else before we were committed? And in this question, I'm helping out a guy whose new girlfriend slept with another man as a pussy payback after he kissed an old girlfriend. Now, he feels cheated on, and she seems to be feeling guilty over what she did. So stick around to find out how they both can move forward together. And then, of course, I'm going to have to lay a reading between the sheets segment on you. And this one this week is called The Weight is Killing Our Relationship. And in this question, I'm helping out a man whose girlfriend has gained a lot of weight, which has turned him off to her sexually. So stay with me to discover how her weight is actually a smokescreen that conceals a fear of emotional intimacy, meaning she uses weight to push him away. So stay with me to find out how he can help her talk about her real fears so she can let go of the weight. All right, so let's get on to today's topic. Are your cash register receipts causing your diminished sex drive? Now, if you're feeling a little lackluster in the libido department these days, you are not alone. Because it turns out American sex drives are tanking thanks to many chemicals and ingredients added to our food, medicines, shower gels, and even sex toys. But have no fear. Dr. Love is here. You can get your hormones back on track and amp up your sex drive by eliminating the top sex drive killers that lurk in your home and your environment. So today I'm going to expose the culprits that may be preventing you from having more fun in bed. So I'm going to label them culprit 1 through culprit 12. So let's start with culprit 1, cash register receipts that are killing yours and millions of other people's sex drives. And it's true, about 40% of the receipts today are coated with a hormone disrupting chemical by bisphenol A or BPA. You probably heard about BPA, and you see sometimes BPA free. Well, BPA has been linked to fertility problems and even heart disease. And a recent study published in the Journal of Fertility and Sterility discovered that men with higher BPA levels in their urine experienced low sperm counts and lower sperm quality than men with lower levels. So to keep your sperm and your sex drive levels healthy, turn down unnecessary receipts and avoid another huge source of BPA, which is canned foods, including soup, because they're lined with BPA liners. Now, even though the study showed that these effects were occurring with men, you have to assume that because we women have a similar sexual apparatus, that you have to expect it's affecting you the same way, even though we don't have studies for it yet. All right, now here's culprit 2, adrenal gland dysfunction. Now, you've heard the adrenal glands are those, your stress glands. That's what you know them as. And they are responsible for producing some of the testosterone in women. So when this gland is not performing to its peak, the amount of testosterone, which is your sex hormone, is lowered. And this means you're going to experience less booty calls. And this gland is what keeps a woman's sex drive active after menopause, because the ovaries, which are responsible for the rest of the testosterone, cease to function. So if you came into menopause with adrenal fatigue, you're going to be SOL. All right. Now, culprit three, soda. Now, have you heard the naked truth about sodas? Some, like Mountain Dew, list brominated vegetable oil, or BVO, as an ingredient. Now, bromine products are linked to infertility, impotence, and decreased libido. So for that same reason, it's also a good idea for you to avoid other sources of brominated flame retardants, including one found in some carpet padding. And that means wet mopping and vacuuming with a HEPA filter-enabled vacuum cleaner will take the flame retardants that have accumulated in your household dust out of your household environment. All right, now here's culprit four. Have you ever wondered if there's something fishy about fish? Fish. Fish is a culprit, because industrial waste chemicals that build up in fish, dairy, and meat products could be erasing your sex drive, and that is for women and men. And there was a Michigan State University research that showed this connection. And although banned in the country, hormone mimicking PCBs, they're polychlorinated biphenyls, or PCBs, they remain in the environment for decades after they've been dumped into the environment. So to protect yourself, eat lower on the food chain. Try meatless Monday dinners to cut back on your meat consumption, and choose fish from the safe list. So, you know, you can hear this show after the fact. If you don't have a pad and pencil near you, or pad and pen, write down this safe list, or listen to the show after the fact on archive, and get these safe fishes into you and avoid the unsafe. So here's the safe ones: anchovies, calamari, catfish, clam, cod, crab, crawfish, crayfish, flounder, but the North Atlantic flounder only, chub, haddock, hake, herring, mackerel, mullet, oyster, perch, but only ocean perch, plaice, pollock, salmon, Atlantic, but beware that it may contain the PCBs, sardines, scallops, sole, only if it's Pacific, tilapia, trout, only if it's freshwater, and whitefish, whiting, that is low in contaminants, are also okay too. And what you want to avoid are fishes that include bluefish, grouper, mackerel, which is king, Spanish, and Gulf, marlin, orange ruffy, sea bass, Chilean sea bass, shark, swordfish, tilefish, tuna, which includes ahi, yellowfin, big eye, and canned albacore. Okay? So check it out. If you didn't have a chance to write it down, just listen to the archive. Now here's culprit five, soy. Oh, Lord. A Harvard study published in the Journal of Human Reproduction found a strong association between men's consumption of soy foods and decreased sperm counts. And in the study, men who ate a variety of soy-containing foods and then underwent semen analysis had poor sperm quality. And nobody wants poor sperm quality. And animal studies also found connections between males chowing down on soy and erectile dysfunction, or ED. And ED ain't gonna help you in bed. And since genetically engineered soy is found in the majority of processed foods, eat non-soy containing foods made with whole ingredients as much as possible. And by the way, soy also has negative effects on women. This is not popularly known, but we know that soy interferes with a woman's thyroid function, which causes weight gain, and also soy can actually produce estrogen dominance, which lowers your sex drive. So say sayonara to soy. All right, now here's culprit six, sex toys. Certain sex toys and other vinyl-containing products can actually harm both male and female libidos because the chemicals in vinyl products, everything from that plastic vibrator to your shower curtain, can disrupt hormones and lower your testosterone, killing the urge to have sex in both men and women. So look for glass or medical-grade silicone vibrators, not vinyl ones, to heat up your foreplay without slowing down your desire. All right, now here's culprit 7. Microwavable popcorn. Non-stick chemicals that are used in the inner lining of microwave popcorn bags and in non-stick pots and pans often contain perfluoroalkyl acids. And common types include PFOA and PFOS. And these chemicals, which are very common, can really do a number on a man's manhood, and small doses of them are linked to testicular tumors, male infertility, and lack of sex drive. So to protect yourself, opt for untreated stainless steel or American-made cast iron cookware and use the brown bag trick. You can find that on the internet for making safer microwave popcorn. And as long as we're on the subject of safer, corn is so heavily laden with pesticides. If you're going to eat it, make sure that it's organic. All right, now here's culprit 8. Scented candles and air fresheners. Now, you'd think candles would help set a sexy mood, but if you're using the most common kind on the market, the artificially scented ones, you're unleashing sex drive-killing chemicals into your environment. A 2008 South California State University air quality test found petroleum-derived artificially scented candles polluted air with benzene and toluene, toxic components of tailpipe exhaust. So these can spark asthma attacks, and the fake fragrances in candles and air fresheners also act as fake sex hormones, which can put a damper on testosterone levels. So choose natural beeswax candles. And not only do they have a mild, pleasant, but not overpowering scent, but the negative ions that they emit also clean up the air. And negative ions really actually help relax you. Now, here's culprit 9, birth control pills. So birth control pills have the ability to tamper with a woman's testosterone production by putting the ovaries to sleep. And yes, women create this male hormone just in smaller amounts. I keep on saying this. So the testosterone that your body is able to create is now rendered useless thanks to the potent fake estrogen in the contraceptive. And your liver sees the excess wave of estrogen from the pill and sends out sex hormone-binding globulin to neutralize many sex hormones, including testosterone. Well, that is a real downer. All right, now here's culprit 10, gender-bending pesticide. Atrazine. This is a common weed-killing chemical. This can dramatically suppress a man's sex drive. And scientists were tipped off to this fact when they noticed that male frogs exposed to trace levels of the chemical suffered a decrease in male sex hormones and fertility. There's nothing worse than a non-horny frog, really. And worse yet, about 10% of the frogs actually turned into females. Now we have transgender frogs. Now, many other pesticides are considered to be hormone disruptors, so eat organic as much as you can to avoid feminizing chemical exposure. Now, culprit 11, sugar. Sugar. A 2009 study published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine found that men with better blood sugar levels enjoyed better sexual health. And studying about 800 men with type 2 diabetes, researchers compared blood sugar levels to sexual health questionnaires. And men with higher blood sugar levels were more likely to report erectile dysfunction. So to help regulate your sugar intake, opt for safer sweeteners like maple sugar, barley malt, lohan, molasses, liquid stevia, or raw honey, and avoid the more harmful ones like agave and aspartame. All right? Go for the whole food sweeteners if you've got to go sweet. Now, culprit 12, chronic stress. Chronic stress will throw your hormones into a tizzy and kill your libido. Because during high stress times, the female body especially converts progesterone, the precursor molecule to testosterone, into the body's stress hormone, cortisol. So instead of sex hormones that make you crave your partner, you're actually making hormones that kill your drive. So try some yoga, or mindfulness-based stress reduction or meditation to regulate your whacked-out hormones. All right, let me take a brief break, and when I come back, I'm going to give you some tips on how to fix these chemical culprits. Be right back on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1996. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of free relationship advice articles on any relationship issue you may have. Or you can submit a question to her free advice column. However, if you're listening live, why not call in? Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, and this is a unique chance to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. So, if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. Now back to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf and it's fun being with you today. I'm talking about the chemical culprits that are killing your sex drive and how to fix the problem. Now, you know, a lot of people, when the sex drive goes on the fritz, start thinking about aphrodisiac herbs or Viagra or other things. But when you do this, you're not really getting to the root of the problem. So the root of the problem is you've got to get your body to clear out the toxins because they build up into your liver, your kidneys, your bowel, your fat cells, and they cause zits, bad odors, low energy levels, and diminished sex drive. So ridding the toxins is going to make you feel better quite easily and quickly. Smoking, pollution, lack of exercise, bad diet, and being overweight all make us feel less stellar than we should. And these factors kill our sex drives. And the best way to rid your body of toxins is to drink a lot of clean water and take antioxidants like green tea and exercise, sweat. The body does its major elimination through the skin. So if you put the causes, the underlying causes to bed, you're going to have more fun in bed. Now, I also wanted to tell you something really interesting about the link between the seasons and your sex drive. So now we're, you know, in summer. And you know that song Summer Lovin' made a name for itself in Greece. And Spring Fling is in our vocabulary for the long term. But in addition to its colloquial interpretations, hot weather lust may actually have a scientific basis. Can you believe this? There's something called melanocyte stimulating hormone, or MSH, and it's been linked to increased sex drive in women. And exposure to sunlight elevates the production and the secretion of this substance. So the reason MSH regulates the synthesis of melanin, and it's also a protective pigment that turns your skin a darker shade to protect it from harmful rays. It also produces a serotonin boost, which is your feel-good neurotransmitter that your brain produces. And it's responsible for heightened mood and sex drive during the spring and summer. And many studies have suggested that the production of serotonin is directly related to sunlight and that with increased luminosity comes increased serotonin levels and more drive. All right, so despite the hot weather helpers, it is possible that you may still get spring and summer blues and lack of libido because some people have reverse seasonal affective disorder. It is rare, but some people do. And then when the warmer temperatures come, a person feels cooped up instead of carefree. And some of the symptoms of reverse SAD are anxiety, decreased appetite, insomnia, irritability, and it's triggered by the longer days and too much heat and or too much light. And people who experience SAD feel attacked by the sun, and they tend to go into twilight mode, avoiding sunlight at all costs. They take frequent cold showers, and they scamper from one air-conditioned environment to the next. So avoid the sun if you have this, and wear sunglasses because it's a real ghost-like existence. But if you're noticing this, check it out because you may need some extra help from your doctor. Now, also, let's talk about fall and winter and how it affects your drive. So when fall hits, it's no wonder your mojo goes into hiding, because with less light and few hours of daytime, the sex fueling serotonin from summer is present at lower levels. And replacing it is melatonin, which is serotonin's Debbie Downer sister. This is produced in greater quantities when you're in a dark environment. And the change in weather and the neurotransmitters has a greater impact on some people than others. But if you experience symptoms like daytime fatigue and lethargy, or excessive sleep, weight gain, sugar cravings, depression, and, decreased interest in sex, you might have seasonal affective disorder. So to get your biological clock and your sex life back in order, try the first line of defense, the light boxes. They do a wonderful, wonderful thing, light therapy. And according to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, this method has up to an 80% success rate for some patients. So also, of course, you want to do talking therapy as well. And don't expect your mood and your sex drive to improve until March or April if you have seasonal affective disorder. Now, I'm going to take a little break, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell you some grub that might make you more in the mood to rub. I'll be back in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you like what you're hearing, you can learn about Dr. Turndorf's techniques for turning conflict into connection and healing in her critically acclaimed, groundbreaking book, Till Death Do Us Part, Unless I Kill You First, a step-by-step guide for resolving relationship conflict. Find out more about this book and read a free excerpt by visiting AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. This show is for you, the listeners, so please give her a call now. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again. Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. So I'm talking about the ways to increase your sex drive. And, you know, since the beginning of time, humans have been hunting up grub that's going to get them in the mood. I mean, even cavemen, I think, were trying to get their clubs in better shape. So Romans slurped shellfish, and they splashed around in public baths, and the Marquis de Sade downed untold quantities of Spanish fly, and as he boinked his way through 18th century France. And, of course, we still today are looking for libido enhancers with scientifically proven positive effects on sexual health. And so here I'm going to give you 8 aphrodisiacs that are going to increase your hormone levels and get your blood pumping. Okay? And so have a romantic 4-course meal here that's going to get your juices flowing. But don't just do this instead of cleansing. Remember, you've got to take care of your plumbing on the inside. All right, so here's one food that really has been demonstrated to have libido-enhancing effects. Bananas. And I don't mean that you use the banana like a dildo. That's not what I mean. You eat the banana, and it fuels you up for foreplay, just like as if you were entering a marathon. Because a big banana is the perfect food for bedroom endurance, because it contains B vitamins, which are key for converting carbohydrates into energy. And they're believed to help manufacture sex hormones like testosterone. So munch on one a few hours before getting busy and make the most of your monkey business. So here's another one. Celery. So if you give your guy celery sticks, he may suddenly seem more irresistible to you than DiCaprio in The Departed. Or maybe your sex life won't be departed. Because raw celery contains a male hormone, androsterone, which can act as a pheromone to trigger female attraction. So this was written up by Ava Cattle, Ph.D., in Passion Power. And after a few bites, his sweat glands start releasing this this substance. And if you're feeling too cranky to fool around, nibble a stalk yourself, because androsterone has mood elevating effects in women, according to the Journal of Fertility and Sterility. So if your man isn't a celery fan, you can add a few truffle shavings to his meal, because truffles boast even more androsterone boosting properties, enough for female pigs to detect the precious mushrooms growing as deep as 3 feet underground. All right. Now here's another one, dark chocolate. A recent Italian study found that women who report eating chocolate on a daily basis claim to have more satisfying sex lives. And do you think it's a coincidence? Well, no, because Willy Wonka's favorite raw material contains a cocktail of chemicals linked to relaxation, intoxication, and pleasure. And like other sweets, chocolate triggers the release of feel-good endorphins. And it also provides small amounts of anxiety-quelling tryptophan, which is also in turkey, but I'd say chocolate tastes a hell of a lot better. And it also has arousing caffeine, and it has a few other substances, anandamide, mead, and theobromine. And these in large quantities work like a psychedelic drug and an opiate, respectively. So you have to down several pounds of chocolate to feel the funky effects, but simply nibbling a few squares after dinner is going to help transform your mood from stress to saucy. Now here's another one. Flax seeds, just a tablespoon of flax seeds a day, increase testosterone. And this is the chemical, as we know, with the most direct libido-boosting effect for men and women. Now, besides enhancing sex drive, these nutty-flavored seeds contain, of course, the essential fatty acids, including the omega-3 and 6s, and they are the major building blocks of all your sex hormones. So if you don't have enough fatty acids, your hormone levels may decrease, and so is your desire going to decrease. So flaxseed oil has twice the omega acids of fish, and 2 tablespoons of the seeds deliver 140% of your RDA. So to rev your engine, either swallow a teaspoon of flaxseed oil or sprinkle a tablespoon on your cereal and salads every day. And since both can spoil fast, get oil in opaque bottles and seeds in vacuum-sealed packs, which have longer shelf lives. Or I like to keep it in the fridge. And if seeds aren't your thing, opt for walnuts, which contain about 90% of your omega RDA. And, of course, now the big, big superfood that they say has even more omega than flax is chia seed. So check that one out, too. Now, ginger. If you're wondering what to cook and how to use ginger, you could make an Asian stir fry and put loads of ginger on it, because this root stimulates your whole circulatory system and it increases blood flow to the genitals. So fresh ginger has a more potent smell than the stuff in a jar, but smelling ginger has a stronger effect on penile and vaginal blood flow than actually eating it. So you kind of sniff it, and the blood is flowing. And when a food or aroma raises blood pressure, vessels in the genitals admit a rush of blood that inflates erectile tissue. And the vessels then close off, preventing blood from exiting the erogenous zone, keeping sensitivity levels high. And if you only have powdered ginger on hand, then it's going to boost the flow a bit, but the effect won't be as intense as the hardcore raw stuff. All right. Now, here's another one. Honey. So no wonder newlyweds' sweaty getaways are called honeymoons, because this sticky sweetener contains simple carbohydrates that provide instant energy and fuel for your working muscles. And honey is rich in B vitamins, which are needed for testosterone production. And it contains boron, which helps the body metabolize and use estrogen. And this is an important part of blood flow and arousal. So use a few teaspoons as a natural sweetener in your tea, or spread it on toast with peanut butter and start calling each other honey. And here's another 2 spices that are totally proven to link directly to your nether regions, nutmeg and clove. Researchers have found that nutmeg and clove, both from the evergreen trees, bolster the sexual activity of rats. And each stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system, helping the little critters in you relax. But the effects were greater with nutmeg, so just don't eat too much of this spice, because it also can have hallucinogenic properties. So sprinkle this on your cappuccino or your hot cocoa. That'll do the trick. And as with chocolate, you'd have to eat a lot, like 2 tablespoons worth on an empty stomach before your psychedelic effects, your hallucinogenic effects would start coming on. Now, again, I mentioned before oysters. The ancient Romans pegged this shellfish as a sex-spurring food, and they were definitely on to something because oysters contain high levels of zinc. And this is a mineral that's required for the production of testosterone. And a team of American and Italian researchers recently found that mussels, clams, and oysters deliver 2 types of amino acids that spark a rush of sex hormones. So be sure to chew your shellfish thoroughly before swallowing, and you'll extract more of the mojo cranking mineral. All righty. So, I need to take a breath. I'm getting all worked up here. And I want to give you some tweets on this topic. How can we be complete without some tweets? So, is your lackluster libido getting you down? Well, I'm going to help you get to town. And if you don't want to rut, you're in a sexual rut. And if your sex drive is on the rocks, I'm going to help you get a sex drive that rocks. Does your sex life suck? Well, we can get you unstuck. And does the prospect of dropping trow make you want to say not now? And if you're in a sexual slump, chemical culprits could be messing up your rump. And you can turn a sex drive that's on the rocks into a love life that rocks. And I know if you're in a sexual slump and you no longer want to hump, we can get you over your sexual hump. All righty. So let me start now with a question. And I see that I'm probably not even going to be able to finish laying this question on you, or maybe I will, and then I'll come back for a break and then answer the question. This one's called Getting Over His Past Relationships. This is a really interesting question. Wait till you hear this one. So, dear Dr. Love, I've been dating my boyfriend for about a year, and I love him, and he's absolutely perfect. He's funny and supportive and everything positive. However, we have fights about his past relationships, and I can't get over the fact that he got married around 21 years old and cheated on his wife the whole time, about a year. And he married her after knowing her for a few months. And he tells me that he was young and stupid and it would never happen again. And he was never actually caught, and they divorced because she cheated on him. He confessed to me about what was going on. And he blames himself for paying too much attention to his affair and causing his relationship to slip away from him. He has a little girl from her in which he loves her and stays present in her life. And he said he tells me that missing his daughter is a reminder that his cheating was the worst mistake of his life. But he wasn't done. His family convinced him to marry a lady so he could get her citizenship. And he agreed because she would be giving him a large sum in return. He moved in with her for a few months and slept with her. He tells me that this relationship was strictly business, but I hate that he did this. And I'm currently waiting for his divorce, which will happen in a few months when she gets her citizenship. My problem is that I can't get over what he's done. I truly believe that he loves me with all his heart and would do anything for me. But do you think he is too high risk? I feel like good men are difficult to come by, and maybe I'm being too hard on him. I know that if I keep fighting about his past, he's going to leave me. Please tell me what to do. Signed, frustrated and in love. Okay, look, you're fighting with this guy over his past is like repeatedly beating a dog for having torn up your photo album. The damage is done, and you cannot put the photos back together. Now, likewise, when your guy has done something that can't be undone. The baby that he created as a result of his infidelity is not going to go away, nor can he take back the marriage. What's the point of fighting with him? Now, you say you keep fighting with him over what he's done, and we need to figure out the real reason why you're doing this. So let me start by saying to you that you are caught in a repetition. Now, if you've been listening to my show for a while or reading my columns, you know that repetition occurs for 2 reasons. First one is we're traumatized and we keep returning to the emotional scene of the crime to try to work through our feelings. And the second reason is we haven't heard what we need to hear from the other person in order to feel resolved. Now, obviously, this fighting isn't bringing you the resolution that you want and need, and this is because you aren't addressing the real issue here. Now, to uncover the real issue, I want you to use my stripping away the overt content technique. And I fully outline this technique in my book, Till Death Do Us Part, Unless I Kill You First. The purpose of this technique is to help you uncover what's really troubling you, to get down to your emotional issue. Now, to do this, forget the details, the woman he married for the money, the woman he had an affair with, and just focus on your feelings. That's stripping away the overt content. And when you do this exercise, I bet you're going to find that you're feeling scared to death that you can't trust this man, okay? Now, while you're digging, see if you can find a parallel between this man and one of your parents. And did you have a parent who was a charming, seductive playboy who couldn't be trusted? Or did you get played as a kid by that parent? Or did you see one of your parents play the other? Now, if you answered yes to any of my questions, then you very well may be about to launch on a repetition of an old scar from your childhood. And as I explain in Till Death Do Us Part, we're all compulsively driven to repeat the painful traumas of our youth in an attempt to work through and heal these wounds. This is the repetition compulsion. Now, the first step in the repetition is to choose a partner who emotionally resembles the parent who let you down. I call this setting the stage. Now, once your drama is restaged, you're going to work to achieve what I call the happy ending, which is the resolution to the original wound. Now, if we can succeed in getting our partner to give us what our parent did not, we're going to feel as though we actually received the emotional goodies from our parent because our partner is so like the parent. Now, it sounds good in theory, but it rarely works out this way. Why? Because the person we choose is like the parent who let us down. Meaning our partner isn't capable of giving us any more or any better treatment than our parent did. Now, Till Death Do Us Part is going to help you identify and heal any old scars that are lurking in you. And it's important for you to do this work, because otherwise your old scar is going to lead you to choose and keep choosing a partner who repeats the worst pain of your past, or it's going to cause you to keep fighting with him because you're really fighting with a parent from your past. Now, I'm also wondering if you're fighting with this guy in a vain attempt to push him away before he does you permanent harm. In other words, do you know deep down that you can't trust this man? And since you haven't had the courage to break away, are you using the fighting to try to get him to do the breaking up? So you need to know that your old scars and the repetition compulsion to heal them will keep you clinging to the wrong partner, because we hang on hoping to heal. And giving up the partner feels like losing our only shot at healing. So maybe your fighting is designed to get him to push you away so you don't have the ability to do so. Now, you're going to need to really examine your heart and this man to evaluate whether he is someone that can be trusted. Now, I know he says that he was young when he cheated on his first partner and he fathered an illegitimate child and so on. But not all young people behave the way he did. And the fact that he was willing to marry someone for money does raise questions regarding his ethics. So he may love you, but love isn't always enough. And I'm sure he loved the first woman too, so why did he cheat on her? Now, only you can decide whether this man has the goods or not. And I also invite you to use my Is He Ready for Love guide. And this you can download when you sign up for my mailing list, because this guide is going to help you fully assess his character and determine if he is trustworthy and truly husband material. And while you're at it, use my Create a Mate guide. You can also download this with your newsletter sign up and flesh out your ideal partner. So I've given you a lot of tools to assess this man, your relationship, and yourself. And after all this, you should know. All right, I'm going to take a brief break, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you've recently been through a breakup and are looking for a second chance, wondering how you can reconcile with your ex or if it's even possible after all you've been through, Dr. Turndorf's latest book, Make Up, Don't Break Up, presents her five-step plan for reconciling with your ex. This plan was developed out of years of research, working with thousands of couples at her Center for Emotional Communication. This is a proven no-hype and no-nonsense method that gets right to the root of the problem to guide you to the right path towards reigniting a lasting relationship. For more about Makeup, Don't Break Up, visit AskDrLove.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. This is the time in the show where I'm answering your questions. And the next question in the queue is called Irrational Behavior. Hello, Dr. Love. About a month ago, my girlfriend split with me under the reason she needed time. In the previous year, she had gotten out of a five-year relationship that turned physically abusive, and I met her 3 months later and asked her out, thus beginning our relationship. Our relationship moved quickly. 3 months later, her mother passed from cancer. I stuck beside her during this time and went out of my way to be there for her. Actually, I did this regardless. After 10 months of a wonderful relationship, that's when she split with me. Well, after the split, at the beginning of last month, against all logic, I started chasing her. I was in pain and was quite unstable mentally. I made her mad, and know it pushed her away farther. So this continued for the entire month. I texted her last weekend, and we had some harsh words. She told me she was in Boston and she didn't need our arguments. I then asked her if she had met someone else, and she responded with, "I haven't, but I'm here with a friend. Please don't text me anymore, at least for a while." I agreed, but shortly after, feeling some disbelief and jealousy, I texted her again. And I asked her to send me a picture of who she was replacing me with. And she responded with, "Really? I said, friend, no one is replacing you." I then sent her 2 more texts explaining the positive changes that have occurred in my life since our split, and another explaining how us arguing made me feel terrible and how I felt horrible about making her mad, and she responded to neither. And I'm now leaving her alone completely and feel like a fool after looking back on my behavior in the past month. My question is, have I pushed her too far to ever return? And I want to get this woman back in my life, start over completely anew, and would like to marry her. She told me herself that I have treated her better than anyone ever has. What should I do to achieve my goal? I do have the ability to move on and find someone who will appreciate the things I have to offer, yet I don't want to. I want her and only her. Okay, so I'm really, really sorry to hear about the bind you're in, because the sad fact is this. You're chasing after a woman who doesn't seem healthy enough to be loved. Now, why do I say this? Well, she told you, and I'm going to quote what she said, "You have treated her better than anyone ever has." Now, think about this. If a person is ready to be loved, he or she runs toward a person who treats him or her well. So what is this woman's track record? First, she chose a guy who physically abused her, and then she kicks to the curb a guy who doesn't mistreat her. You connect the dots. Now, on top of all this, it seems the death of her mother pushed her over the edge. God only knows what kind of fears and conflicts the death opened up in her, but she's in need of serious help. Now, she's not the only one who needs help, because you do too. Look at how you are invested in chasing after someone who doesn't love you back. You too don't seem ready to be loved. Now, I have a sense that you are trying to work out an old scar of your own, and notice how you went out of your way to be there for her. Now, here's the thing. As kids, most of us didn't get the kind of unconditional love that we should have received. And the way kids' brains are structured, we actually believe that the neglect and or abuse we suffer from our parents is our own fault. I know it sounds nuts, but it's true. Now, I've said this many times, and I'll say it again. Kids are by nature extremely narcissistic, meaning they think they're the center of the universe. And this means that when we are mistreated, we think that it's because of us. We think we aren't good enough or lovable enough, and hence the neglect and the abuse and the mistreatment is our fault. Now, Kids also live under what's called the omnipotent, meaning all-powerful, fantasy. And this means that we actually believe that we have the power to fix our defective parents. And when we do, we imagine that they will finally be able to love us. And when our efforts fail, we blame ourselves, our self-esteem suffers, and we are now primed to play out this struggle in our adult relationships. So this is where your relationship plays this out. We grow up and we find a partner who emotionally resembles our parent. And our partner can't love us properly either, but now we fall into that repetition compulsion trap. So we pick up where we left off as kids, and we go out of our way to be there for the person who's letting us down, hoping that that person will finally see how good and kind we are, and the fantasy being that our efforts will finally win us the love that we've always hungered for. So can you see yourself in my story? This is why you want to marry her and don't want to give up, because you're still trying to fix your original scar. Now, know that it is the hunger to heal that has you hanging on for dear life, even if the hanging on kills you, because your mind is playing a trick on you. It actually has you believing that you can fix her, win her back, and finally win the love that you crave from your parent. Now, you need to let go of this illusion. You need to grieve her loss and focus instead on healing your old scar. And my book, Till Death Do Us Part, is going to show you how to do this healing. Now, when you're healed, you won't want her anymore. And then you're going to be ready to choose a partner who's capable of giving you all the love you always deserved and continue to deserve. You're a good man. Stop trying to get blood from a stone. Start giving all your love to yourself. Heal you. Then your love tide here will flow. Your love life will magically fall into place. Now, if you need more help in healing, don't hesitate to reach out to me in my private consulting division. I mean, actually, I help people all over the world who connect to me through the website, through the radio show, and then I work with you by phone or Skype. So if you can't get there by yourself, by all means, let me help you. All right, now here's another one. Here's another one, and this, oh, the tangled webs we weave. This one's called, What If She Slept With Someone Else Before We Were Committed? Okay, dear Dr. Love, this girl and I were talking for a couple of weeks, and we went on dates in a single week. We went on two dates, and we had sex the second date on a Saturday night. She was very into me, at least that's what she told me, and what she told her friends, because we have some mutual friends. Anyway, 3 days after we slept together on Tuesday, I slipped up. I bartend, and a girl I dated for a very short period of time came in to visit. And I stayed after my shift, and I talked to this girl to catch up. Well, at the end of the night, we kissed, and word got around to the girl that I'm currently seeing. Needless to say, she was not happy with this, and it took me a couple of days to mend the situation and convince her that I do like her a lot, and that I wasn't pursuing anything that night with the girl that kissed me, which is true. And apparently, that whole situation made her feel unwanted, and we were not on good terms again until Friday night, a week after we slept together. Well, she wanted me to see her that night, but being a bartender, I wanted to go home and get some sleep before I had to work on Saturday, so I went home. Well, that night around 3 a.m., she called me wanting to come over, and I told her no because I had to be up in just a couple of hours. Well, she never came over, and that night she slept with a guy that she used to talk to at a party that they were both at. And I didn't find out until Sunday when her cousin, who was a mutual friend, told me. I was furious prior to this. I thought things were going to start heading into a positive direction, and I was ready to fully commit. And to make things worse, that night I went out with my friends to a bar, and she happened to walk in after us with her girlfriends. We didn't speak, but she did have a guilty, maybe even a regretful look in her eyes when I walked past her and I saw her pain. And I don't know what to do. I really like her. And even now I can't stop thinking of her. And even though we weren't official and we weren't committed to each other, I just feel like I've been cheated on. And the thing that really bothers me is that she did all this after she told me that she didn't want me to see anybody else other than her. So she wanted to be exclusive. Granted, this was before the Tuesday night incident, so do you think I should be able to forgive and forget and give the relationship a chance? Or should I just forget and move on? It's partly my fault because of what happened on Tuesday. So what would be a woman's motive in an incident like this? Confused, frustrated, and sad man needs insight. That's how you signed it. Okay. What a mess. This girl acted on her feelings big time. And what I mean by acted on her feelings is instead of putting them to words, which is relational, talking so that then we can understand and resolve each other, she went into action. And instead of telling you that she felt hurt that you kissed your ex, she went ahead and slept with another guy. And this is why we need to put our feelings into words, not actions, because I always say putting our negative feelings into actions is relationship destruction, because action triggers a counter reaction. So in your case, you didn't pay her back for sleeping with this other guy, but the relationship is definitely on thin ice. So first off, she should have told you how she felt when you kissed the other girl. And she should have also told you how she felt when you declined her offer to come over. Now, instead, she just screwed someone else and screwed you in the process. Now, if you want to be with this girl, and I have serious concerns that she's mature enough to form and maintain a relationship, then what you've got to do is you've got to go talk to her and tell her that you suspect that she has feelings about the recent turn of events that have occurred. Notice I'm using neutral language. Now, then you could say that you've heard through the grapevine that she found out that your ex came by and kissed you goodbye, and you suspect that this hurt her feelings and made her think that you aren't to be trusted. And then when you told her that you didn't want her to come over because you had to sleep, you further suspect that you hurt her feelings. And you can say that you know that she knows that you know, now that's a mouthful, that she slept with another guy. And when you saw her at the party, you saw what looked like a guilty, regretful expression. Now, you can then be real and admit that you were very upset, sad, hurt, whatever you feel over this news, because you really like her and you were hoping to be exclusive. And then ask her if it's not too late for you both to try again. Now, if she says she's willing, then I would say that before you both become involved again, you want to establish an agreement that you both talk about your feelings rather than act them out. And at this point, you could say that you had the feeling that she slept with the other guy to punish you for the kiss and maybe also punish you for not having her over. And then ask her if this is true. And then get her to tell you exactly what she did feel. Tell her that from now on, you want her to be open like this and share with you all her thoughts and feelings. And I've given you the blueprint for getting over your blues, getting back together, and for keeping the relationship going strong. Now, I hope she's mature enough to get on board and that you both use your mouths for more than just kissing, because that's what our mouths were made for, too. They were made for us to really talk to each other from the heart and then truly listen and understand each other. We owe this gift to each other because very few of us had this kind of treatment in our first families. We come to our adult relationships with all kinds of wounded places inside our souls. And our divine, divine opportunity and calling is to really become healing, loving figures for each other, to give each other the love and the support and the actual parenting that we never got. And this is how we heal our old scars, and this is how we come fully into our own, so that then we are able to go and return this gift to others, to everyone in our path. We want to hold in the palm of our hands and listen and understand them, especially when we're angry. This takes a lot of maturity, but it can be done. So that's about all I have for you this week on Ask Dr. Love Radio. I didn't have time to do the weight is killing our relationship question, but if you go to my website, you'll see it posted on the latest columns page, and you'll hear my discussion about how people can often hide behind weight as a way of driving another person off. And that it can conceal a fear of intimacy. Oftentimes also it can be a symptom of having been sexually abused, and the weight can become a buffer zone to protect the self as well. So what else do I want to tell you? Did I tell you the exciting news? This is very, very exciting news. I got reached out to by the CEO of Hay House. Did I mention? Yes, I said it last week. I told my guest, Jack Canfield, the CEO of Hay House, called, and I'm going to be publishing my new book with them. So there'll be way more information about that on the website. So that's all I've got for you now. I'll see you next week on Ask Dr. Love Radio.